Hi, and welcome back to Season 2 of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Kramer, and I'll be continuing our discussion on the Book of Romans. This New Testament epistle, or letter, was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the most outspoken followers of Christ. Let's pick up where we left off. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? The question is, how do you distinguish between judgment and showing your brother his sin so he may repent? The answer is, if you tell someone not to judge, you are not judging that person, but commanding him not to do what would make him guilty of judgment, not to mention contradiction and hypocrisy. If you tell a person she's going to hell when she dies because she says that to others, then you are judging someone for judging others. Judgment has a spectrum of meaning, from condemnation to diagnosis. God forbids us from condemning others because we cannot know a person's everlasting destiny and because it's not our place. See Matthew chapter 18 and John chapter 8. Our place is to bear witness to all that is opposed to life and to draw people away in repentance toward all that is life according to God's will. See 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 6, and James chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul commands the most effective and only loving course of action for the well-being of the man and for all those who knew of his relationship with his stepmother. Here, Paul forbids the condemnation of others, lest we lose both the one doing the condemning and the one being condemned. The law, conscience, and consequences already condemn what is contrary to God's design for life. What people need is help realizing the redemption Christ has already provided from that condemnation. See Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 6, and John chapter 3. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. He will render to each one according to his works. The question is, does this mean our works will affect our judgment from God? The answer is, this verse is an exact quotation from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12 in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. There are way too many passages that speak about the relationship of judgment and works to ignore them or to try to explain them away. See Micah chapter 6, Matthew chapter 25, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Ephesians chapter 6. There's no escaping the fact that only the righteous will be saved. See Matthew chapters 5 and 11. There's no escaping the fact that there is one and only one way to be righteous, that is, by the grace of God. Romans 3 verses 10 through 26. The Son of God has taken away in his death all that we do wrong. The Word and Spirit of God apply to us all that Christ did right. The Word and Spirit of God regenerate our inner person or soul so that we actually do what is right. See Isaiah chapter 40, Hosea chapter 6, John chapters 3, 15, and 16, and 1 John chapter 3. The person who steadfastly denies any fault in himself and steadfastly despises all that Christ has done for him and all that God would do in his life dies under the condemnation of the law. John chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. The question is, how can God not show favoritism? Are the Jews favored over the Greeks? The answer is, God does not show favoritism. That is, he does not deal more graciously with one person than with another, since all are his creation and all have been redeemed by his Son. John 3, verse 16. God sustains the life of all people, even those who despise him. Romans 2, verse 4. God is gracious to all who fear him, no matter who they are. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 9, and Luke 1, verse 50. God does make distinctions when it comes to responsibility and accountability. See Luke chapters 12 and 19 and James chapter 3. The Jews were supposed to be God's ambassadors to the Gentiles. Deuteronomy 4 verses 5 through 8. The Jews had the promises, So it would make sense for them to learn of the fulfillment of those promises first and then serve God by sharing the promises and their fulfillment with others. Romans 9 verses 4 through 5 and Acts 1 verse 8. To the Jews, much had been given, so from them, much was required. Luke 19 verses 11 through 26. Chapter 2 verse 11. The question is, if God doesn't show favoritism, why does he say the Jews are the chosen people? The answer is, God chose Abraham and gave him descendants for a few reasons. None of them have to do with favoritism. First, God chose Abraham and his descendants so that people might follow the fulfillment of his promise to send a savior by the seed of the woman. Genesis 3 verse 15 and Isaiah 7 verse 14. Second, God demonstrated through these people that fallen human nature cannot produce a savior nor even begin to fulfill the law on its own behalf. See Matthew chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 3. Third, through the Jews, God demonstrated his patience, grace, and love, upon which all fallen human nature depends. See Exodus chapter 32 and Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The question is, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because we're sinful and our witness is imperfect. How do we reach those who see us as hypocrites? The answer is, if your witness is moralism, but you sin, then you are a hypocrite, and there's no way to change that fact except to obey the law perfectly. But this is not what Christ or his word teaches. God's name is glorified when people learn of his love, grace, goodness, and power that accomplished universal redemption in Christ Jesus. Christianity does not teach that we can be perfect. Rather, it teaches that we can be honest about our imperfections because God has provided a remedy. See Psalm 130, John chapter 3, and Galatians chapter 2. Christians seek a godly life not to justify themselves, but because they have already been justified in Christ and seek to share that new life with others. Christians love others from gratitude for the love of God, because the love of God is at work in them, because we have a soul regenerated in the image of Christ, and so that others come to know the same love and life of God with which we have been blessed. See John chapter 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Philippians chapter 3, and 1 John chapter 4. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the questions and answers we've been discussing today. For more helpful tools and a free Bible study guide, visit cph.org. Join me next week as we continue exploring the book of Romans.